Cambridge Certificate in Advanced English 5 by the University of Cambridge ESOL Examinations in conjunction with Cambridge University Press. This recording is copyright. CD 2. This is the Cambridge Certificate in Advanced English Listening Test. Test 3. This paper requires you to listen to a selection of recorded material and answer the accompanying questions. There are four parts to the test. You will hear part two once only. All the other parts of the test will be heard twice. There will be a pause before each part to allow you to look through the questions, and other pauses to let you think about your answers. At the end of every pause, you will hear this sound. You should write your answers in the spaces provided on the question paper. You will have 10 minutes at the end to transfer your answers to the separate answer sheet. There will now be a pause. You must ask any questions now, as you will not be allowed to speak during the test. Now open your question paper and look at part one. You will hear someone giving a radio talk about postage stamps. For questions 1 to 8, complete the sentences. You will hear the recording twice. You now have 30 seconds to look at part 1.
Now, when you stick a stamp on a letter, you probably don't give much thought as to how it was made. In actual fact, a highly developed technology and sophisticated production process goes into making stamps which are not, actually, easy to produce. Let's think for a moment about what we expect of them. We want them to look nice, but we also want them to tear off along the perforations and not, annoyingly, across a corner. We expect the colour to stay on the stamp and not to come off on our fingers. We expect the glue to be strong, obviously, so that the stamp doesn't come off the letter, and we want it to taste okay when licked. The post office, of course, has its own criteria when producing stamps. They have to withstand mechanised handling processes, which often involve letters moving at high speed, up to 4 metres per second. Added to this, they must be safe. The inks used should not harm post office workers or the public when handled in quantity, and of course not run into one another and spoil the often intricate designs. The actual production process all revolves around choice of paper, which is smooth to the touch and looks glossy, and is capable of accepting the printing inks used. The stamps are often sold in sheets, and need to lie flat. It would be very annoying for post office clerks and customers if they kept curling up. The post office is also keen to prevent us making our own stamps, as you might imagine. Forgery is made difficult by adding whiteners of the kind used in some washing powders, which are exactly specified and checked in ultraviolet light. They also have the effect of enhancing the whiteness and brightness of the paper. It is also important that the paper has neutral acidity to ensure a shelf life of at least 25 years for the benefit of stamp collectors who naturally want the stamps to last. There could be as many as 4 million stamp collectors in Britain alone, which represents big business to the post office. For many collectors, the value of a stamp is a question of its rarity, and this has led to an increase in the number of special limited issues produced by the post office. This also means, however, that an accidental variation has great value. For this reason, the post office goes for a policy of strict quality control to ensure that, as far as possible, small variations in colour and printing do not occur. Despite the communications revolution we are living through, the idea of the stamp lives on, and indeed continues to be an object of fascination to millions of collectors around the world.
Now you will hear the recording again.
Now, when you stick a stamp on a letter, you probably don't give much thought as to how it was made. In actual fact, a highly developed technology and sophisticated production process goes into making stamps which are not, actually, easy to produce. Let's think for a moment about what we expect of them. We want them to look nice, but we also want them to tear off along the perforations and not, annoyingly, across a corner. We expect the colour to stay on the stamp and not to come off on our fingers. We expect the glue to be strong, obviously, so that the stamp doesn't come off the letter, and we want it to taste okay when licked. The post office, of course, has its own criteria when producing stamps. They have to withstand mechanised handling processes which often involve letters moving at high speed, up to 4 metres per second. Added to this, they must be safe. The inks used should not harm post office workers or the public when handled in quantity, and of course not run into one another and spoil the often intricate designs. The actual production process all revolves around choice of paper, which is smooth to the touch and looks glossy, and is capable of accepting the printing inks used. The stamps are often sold in sheets and need to lie flat. It would be very annoying for post office clerks and customers if they kept curling up. The post office is also keen to prevent us making our own stamps, as you might imagine. Forgery is made difficult by adding whiteners of the kind used in some washing powders, which are exactly specified and checked in ultraviolet light. They also have the effect of enhancing the whiteness and brightness of the paper. It is also important that the paper has neutral acidity to ensure a shelf life of at least 25 years for the benefit of stamp collectors who naturally want the stamps to last. There could be as many as 4 million stamp collectors in Britain alone, which represents big business to the post office. For many collectors, the value of a stamp is a question of its rarity, and this has led to an increase in the number of special limited issues produced by the post office. This also means, however, that an accidental variation has great value. For this reason, the post office goes for a policy of strict quality control to ensure that, as far as possible, small variations in colour and printing do not occur. Despite the communications revolution we are living through, the idea of the stamp lives on, and indeed continues to be an object of fascination to millions of collectors around the world.
That is the end of part 1.